seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be with you. It's Tuesday, that means all football talk coming up. It just seems like Super Bowl 55 has kind of slid under the radar, doesn't it? It kind of felt that way last year, too. Remember, we had the passing of Kobe Bryant, and it almost just overshadowed everything as far as Media Day was concerned. It just put a damper on it. And this year, I think it's all due to COVID. I mean, Super Bowl week, you have Media Day, you have a lot of buildup. We just don't have it. We have Zoom meetings. You know, it's a quiet environment. I don't feel like we're getting the sound clips out of certain players. There's nothing wrong with that. But the buildup to Super Bowl 55 has been unlike any other Super Bowl, at least in my lifetime, right? It's become an extravagant event, and I don't know if that's the case here in 2021. We have a lot of items we have to talk about as far as the NFL is concerned. First off, the blockbuster trade that went down Saturday between the Rams and the Lions. Did the Rams give up too much? That's a fun conversation to have because I think it sets up the remaining offseason questions. Like, for instance, does Deshaun Watson get moved? And if he does, what's the asking price for Deshaun Watson now? Does this Ram-Lions trade impact that at all? Can Jared Goff have success in Detroit, or will the Lions be looking for a new quarterback relatively soon? It's a fun conversation to have, and I think it spurns many other conversations as we gear up for the NFL offseason, which is just a few days away now with Super Bowl Sunday approaching. So we will get into that. We will get predictions on Super Bowl 55. Chiefs, Buccaneers. Who are you rolling with? We'll talk about the predictions. That's coming up in just a bit. Let's take a look at some of the national sports headlines. Hey, this is big news. If you're a video gamer or if you're just a casual player, if you're into sports and you're listening to this show, at some point in time you have played a video game, a sports video game. One of my personal favorites, it was EA Sports' College Football. And it went away back in 2014. It was fun. You could take over a program. You could recruit. It was just a lot of fun. In fact, from time to time, I'll pull out NCAA 13. I still have that on the PlayStation 3. I'll pull that out from time to time. I'm not going to have to do that anymore. EA Sports is bringing back college football. Again, the last time this game was made was 2013. And there's been talk of the possibility of this game coming back. The talk is over. It is coming back. Daryl Holt, EA Sports Vice President and General Manager, said that that will be the case starting this year. At some point, the game's going to be made. There's not an exact date yet. But remember, the big problem was compensation. Okay, the rules are likely to be changed at some point in the coming year by the NCAA as far as using images or likeness of real college players. Because the rules right now, that prohibits it. You can't do it. And that was the big problem. At some point in time, EA Sports is going to be able to negotiate with athletes and use their name in the game, and I think it's going to amplify it by 20 when you look at the landscape of college football games. I'm excited. I think it's the right thing as well. I've never been a huge fan of college athletes getting paid to play. Never been a fan of that. However, this is the United States of America. If people want to purchase your likeness, if I go out and I want to buy a Devontae Smith jersey, and it's at Alabama, I'm buying that jersey because it's Devontae Smith. Right? Shouldn't Devontae Smith be able to make something off of that? That's different than being paid to play. I mean, that's different than Alabama being able to walk up and offer a kid $100,000 to play at Alabama compared to $50,000 to go play at Vanderbilt. That's different. If you create enough excitement off of your name, off of your ability, you should be able to profit off of that in some sense. It's like college athletes signing autographs. Right? If Todd Gurley, who was the man when he was at Georgia, if somebody wants to pay him to sign some autographs, he should be able to do that. He's earned that right. It's different than paying to play. I think this is a good breakthrough. And obviously, we'll be hearing more about this, I know, in the coming months. But NCAA football, it is making its return. Let's take a look at the schedule in the NBA tonight. 6 o'clock, we get the Raptors and the Magic. 5 o'clock, excuse me. It's a 5 o'clock tip-off. We get the Clippers and the Nets. That's an interesting matchup. Kawhi going toe-to-toe with KD. 6 o'clock tonight, we get the Grizzlies and the Pacers. The Blazers will take on the Wizards as well. Dame Lillard going up against Bradley Beal. 8 o'clock tonight, Pistons-Jazz. Start time for this game, 8, live coverage at 7:50 right here on KOAL. And then the nightcap tonight, it's the Celtics and the Warriors. Quick look at what's happening in the national sports front. Local sports recap is coming up. Plus, it's Football Tuesday, all straight ahead right here on Drive Time Sports.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're not supposed to be having this type of talk until after Sunday. Super Bowl is just a couple of days away, but the Rams and Lions kind of stole the show, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
They did. They took some of the air out of...
They really did. There's really no real media day, right? Because the media day was a huge deal, but it's
stinks.
Different.
Yeah, it stinks the way it is
stupid.
This year. Yeah.
It's stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it here on the show either. We used to have guest after guest lined up. It's not happening this year because of the frenzy around the Super Bowl. The lack of frenzy around the Super Bowl. So the Rams and Lions steal the show Saturday night in the monster deal that is unique. I mean, Jared Goff, along with two first-round picks and a third-rounder to the Lions for Matt Stafford. Vinny, I got to talk about this trade yesterday, and I do believe it. You will agree with this. It makes more sense the more you break it down as to why it could be a win for both teams. Like right now, I'm telling you, it's a win for the Rams right now. It could be a win for the Lions. And ultimately, Matt Stafford wasn't carrying that team. They needed to move in a different direction anyway. So I do believe it turns out to be a win for both teams. And that's rare, too. You rarely see trades win for both teams.
Yeah, win for both teams.
Because how many times in the last, if we're talking about the Rams, we have seen a lot of number one picks go out for proven commodities. They won the Jalen Ramsey deal. They won that. I could go back to the Brandon Cooks deal. May not look great right now. They won it at the time. They gave up the 23rd pick in the draft for Brandon Cooks. Yeah, I'd do that 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah,
right?
And a better throw by Goff, who just got left. Rams won the Super Bowl.
Probably.
Throwing it to Brandon Cooks. He's wide open.
You know, so I'm of the mindset you don't have to have number one picks. Okay, but that's for a team that you know is going to be anywhere from 23 to 32. It's different than, say, the Houston Texans, who traded multiple number ones to get a left tackle in Laremy Tunsil, and they were horrible, which means now Miami's picking 3 because they robbed Houston in this Tunsil deal, right? If you go about it the smart way, I think we put too much stock in the draft because we love the draft.
We love the draft. And the back end of the ones, historically... And there's so much that goes into it. We've talked a bunch about this off the air, but when you make a great point, when you break it down and you start looking at this deeper and deeper, I think it's going to be a win for both teams and both players too. And, you know, the first time you read that headline, you know, we talked right when it happened, you read that headline, you think, that's incredible. There's no way. There's no way. But then you start getting into the specifics of the deal, the money, where you're picking, you know, late in the first round. The extra third rounder, it's a gimme pick anyways. They were going to get it just for hiring a general manager. So, yeah, there's a lot more into it than meets the eye. But it's incredible because you never see two quarterbacks. You never see quarterbacks switch teams for each other, especially now. And then when you throw in the money one takes on and the draft picks the Rams give up to clear the money... It's a complicated deal, really. But I'm with you. I think it's a win for both teams. The more you break it down, the better off it looks for both teams.
Yeah, and you have to also consider that right now, the Lions made this trade. They don't get a first-round pick this year. It's not this upcoming draft.
Yeah.
It's next season and the season after that. And that matters as well. So for the time being, you have one team that feels that they are a quarterback away from competing in the Super Bowl. And you know what, Vinny? It's hard to argue. I know the Rams are going to look a little different next year. There's no question outside of the quarterback spot. But you look at games, two losses to San Francisco, you probably could contribute those two losses to quarterback play. You look at the loss to Miami, you could absolutely contribute that loss to quarterback play. So instead of going on the road to Lambeau, you're at home in L.A. And if that's the case, well, maybe that is the missing piece. So Vegas seems to think it. Did you see the new odds for next season?
No, I didn't see it.
Okay,
I hate that because we don't have any draft picks yet.
We don't know yet. But based off this right now, Vegas says Kansas City, Tampa Bay, Los Angeles. I think that Matt Stafford makes a very big difference.
And I think, you know, like we said, it's a win for both teams. For the Lions, they're going to tear this down. Dan Campbell has, I think it was 6 years.
Yeah, he's got six years to make it happen, right.
Now he's got some extra capital.
Mm-hmm.
He had the money, so that wasn't a big deal for him. Stafford had asked to leave and didn't want to be part of the rebuild. That's fine. They got something for him.
They got a quarterback.
Yeah, they got a quarterback and draft picks.
Yep.
You know, you don't just let your quarterback walk and get nothing for him. They're going to get something out of this. Jared Goff goes to a team that wants to run the football. Dan Campbell and Anthony Lynn have told everybody, we're going to run the football. Goff's at his best when they're running the ball and he plays play action, right?
Yep, no doubt.
So I think it's a scheme fit for Jared Goff. He needed a fresh start because him and McVay, I think they'd run their course. And the more you read about it, the more you get to it. I think McVay felt he stalled out. You know, we talked about that in the playoffs. Green Bay, you know, when they played Green Bay, there was no explosion.
No, none.
And you know, Goff's a good quarterback, and we're not. Jared Goff is a good NFL quarterback.
He's good. See, and
Stafford can make throws. Jared Goff can't.
No, and that's where I think people need to understand a couple of things here. To say that Jared Goff is a bad quarterback is completely wrong.
That's wrong.
You don't win 42 games in a 4-year span and go to a Super Bowl if you're a bad quarterback.
Yeah, he is a good NFL quarterback.
And I hope that he has success where he goes. Now, when you start taking a look at we get caught up in the elites, right? We get caught up in the next Patty Mahomes. We get caught up in the next Tom Brady, the next Drew Brees, the next Aaron Rodgers. They don't grow on trees.
No.
Right? They don't grow on trees. The arm talent doesn't grow on trees. And so when I look at this deal, the Rams made a move for arm talent because Matt Stafford has arm talent that you're not going to find on a palm tree just growing in Los Angeles. It doesn't happen.
No. He's got a cannon. And Stafford, he needed a fresh start. He wanted a fresh start. And McVay, you know, they have a little bit of a weird relationship. They kind of know each other. And, you know, I think they kind of sense this was going to be a marriage that fit. And I think McVay's excited that he can maybe do some things he couldn't do.
What's his guy? Stafford's his guy. We talked 2 weeks ago about head coaches. Their tenure lasts as long as their quarterback.
Their quarterback.
He's never had a quarterback. People also forget that Jared Goff was not Sean McVay's quarterback.
Yeah, he didn't draft him.
He
inherited him.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a good job building him up.
He did.
And, you know, Jared Goff's arrow was through the roof. And the last couple of years kind of flatlined on him. And I think McVay I really do believe there was a plateau there. We thought, okay, this is as far as I've gone. And where I'm at now, I'm a playoff team. I'm not a Super Bowl contender. And hey, credit to Rams. They're going all in.
Forward thinking.
Yeah, they are going all in. Mm-hmm. And that's how they're going to do it. They're going to build around superstars. And Stafford has a chance here to be an NFL superstar. Should he have been in Detroit? Yeah. I mean, here's a guy through 5,000 yards.
It's only 8 quarterbacks have ever done that.
Yeah.
In the history of the NFL.
And that was, you know, quite a few years ago. So, mm-hmm. And he's got years left. He's relatively healthy, I think, coming out of the year. So I really like this. This is a neat trade. It changes things up. It's good for football. And it's good that quarterbacks are moving. And I think both teams win. It's one of them teams where I think both teams win, Jordan.
I like the idea. I prefer this method of rebuilding opposed to tearing it down and going through, I don't want to use the word tanking, but having 3 or 4 rough seasons. I prefer this type of aggressiveness. Really, I do.
Yeah.
I think as a fan, you can applaud that. Now, here's the big question.
The NFL does punish you, like you've said for
they
years.
Punish
they
when you
punish
draft
you
well.
For drafting well.
They punish you for grabbing undrafted free agents. They punish you.
Yeah,
the Rams just went through this with Corey Littleton last year. He was an undrafted free agent. Worked his way up from special teams. Became one of the best linebackers in coverage. What happened? The Raiders paid him. The Rams couldn't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL punishes you with that hard cap.
And he tanked for the Raiders. He tanked.
He didn't play well.
He didn't play well at all.
No.
So sometimes free agents too, yeah. We'll see. There's two ways to look at it. And again, there's two ways to look at it. You know, some teams are going to draft and develop their talent. You know, that's the Green Bay Packer way. Well, guess what? Jared Goff and the Rams, Jared Goff and Sean McVay, they've been to as many Super Bowls as Aaron Rodgers has.
That's a good point.
And he's been doing it for 15 years, yeah. The Green Bay Packer way.
That's a good point.
So, I mean, there's merits for both. But again, I think it's one of them cool deals where I really think everybody wins when you start breaking it down of why they win.
And you know what else is neat about the situation? Brad Holmes spends 18 years with the Rams organization, gets a general manager job in Detroit, and the first blockbuster move he makes is the guy that he was banging on the table to get back in 2016, right?
Yep.
That's the first move he makes.
It's his guy.
It's his guy.
So Brad Holmes brings in his guy. So you made an amazing point, too. You know, again, you know all about your Rams. The money saved, if they re-sign John Johnson and Leonard Floyd, would you rather have John Johnson, Leonard Floyd, Matt Stafford, or the two first-round picks and Jared Goff?
Oh, you don't even have to think about that.
There you go. Think of it that way. You know, they give a third-round pick. It didn't really matter.
They were getting it for free.
It's a freebie third-round pick.
Yeah.
So,
and the idea that the salary cap's a myth. We've said this. It's a myth, Vinny.
It's very flexible.
You find ways. And so as soon as this trade becomes official, I use air quotes when I say that, on March 17th, you'll see Matt Stafford have a restructured deal because he's not going to L.A. for a payday. It's not why he's going to L.A.
No.
He didn't want out of Detroit for a payday. He's made his money. He was a top 10 highest paid athlete in the country at one point in time. So, you know, he'll restructure.
And there'll be some incentives there.
There will
if
be.
If they win the Super Bowl, there'll be an incentive in his contract.
No question. So once he reworks it, I would expect this trade to clear up a good $20 million for the Rams in the cap. I really do. I think that's what it'll clear, which is huge.
So if you resign those two guys and Matt Stafford, you're better off than Jared Goff and two draft picks.
There's no question.
To replace those two guys.
Two draft picks, not counting this year's. We're not talking about 2021.
So
2022, 2023, and you are in it to win it right now. So it does. I agree with you. It works for both teams. I wish Jared Goff success. I think he's such a likable person.
Yeah, and he's a good guy. He's a good player, good quarterback. And it's good for Detroit. Hey, if you're Detroit, hey, you should be excited about this trade.
You got a 26-year-old quarterback.
You got a 26-year-old quarterback. Next year, when the quarterback market's a little settled, you have an extra first-round pick. So maybe next year you draft an understudy for Jared Goff. And you're not stuck in this same situation.
This guy's 3-3.
Who's got developed under Stafford? Nobody.
He's 3-3 in the playoffs. Don't forget. So, yeah, they'll say that Goff's 2-3. He's 3-3. The win would go to Wolford, I guess. And that was Jared Goff's victory. He's 3-3 in the playoffs. Right? How long has it been? The Lions haven't won 3 playoff games in franchise history. Okay, and this guy's 3-3 in the playoffs.
Yeah, so the Lions, you should be excited about this. And I'm excited about, Dan Campbell. I like the direction the Detroit Lions are going with Campbell, Chris Spielman, Anthony Lynn. I think Anthony is a good football coach. Being a coordinator will help. They're going to run the football there. I like the direction of the Detroit Lions. And if you're the LA Rams, I mean, hey, they're your Rams. Nobody knows them better than you do. You're going for the Super Bowl. You're swinging for the fences.
And you have to.
How do you argue with that?
Yeah, you have to appreciate it. You have to. Now, this does change the market. So before we get into Super Bowl talk, take a quick break. I want to come back. We'll talk about the best quarterback still available. And if Stafford is 2 first-round picks, a third, and a player, what's it mean for Deshaun Watson? Does he stay put now in Houston, or does someone pay? We'll also look at some of the other quarterbacks that may be on the trade market because, Vinny, at one point in time, it was almost like abstract talk, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not abstract anymore. The first domino has fallen.
Mm-hmm.
What could be crazy offseason. We'll talk about that when we return. It's Football Tuesday here on Drive Time Sports.
Since they want to know.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
We're back on Football Tuesday. It's Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Let's talk about the trade market now for quarterbacks because Matt Stafford fetches 2 ones, a three, and a 26-year-old quarterback, yet not on a cap-friendly deal, but still a 26-year-old quarterback that has one. What in the world would it take to lure Deshaun Watson from Houston?
Well, you know, one of the things getting overlooked, and this is something we talked about, is you can basically say that one of those first-round picks was just for the contract.
It was.
It wasn't for the player.
No.
It had nothing to do with the deal other than we're going to give you a number one, you're going to take our money from us, and then I can re-sign my free agents.
Yeah, it's an NBA trade.
Yeah, so you have to take that in consideration. That's not part of the other deal with some of these other teams if they call another quarterback. Because unless there's a contract or some money involved, you probably take that out of the equation, right?
But it still sets the market.
It does, but, I mean, honestly, who else do we think can get traded? Of all the talk with Deshaun Watson, I don't think he moves at all. I don't even think there's a market for Deshaun Watson.
Well,
because I honestly think when people are calling the Texans right now, they're getting crickets going, no, we're not interested. Now, could that change? Yes.
The only problem I see is, Vinny, it's in this league, it's very, very hard to overpay for a quarterback who's, look, we know Deshaun Watson's good. He's 25 years old. I think it's hard to overpay for a franchise quarterback. Okay, so if you're the New York Jets and you don't feel like you have your franchise quarterback and you got a lot of money right now, you're basically going to be starting over come draft day anyways with the likes of Justin Fields, right? Well, we can assume that Fields is going to go number two. If you want to go Zach Wilson, whoever. If you go quarterback.
You know, I don't know, Jordan. I don't think the Jets do it. I think they build around Darnold.
Okay, but if they do.
Okay, if they do.
Okay, if they do. Same thing can be said for Jacksonville, right? You're going to restart. You're doing a rebuild around a quarterback. You're still rolling the dice on whoever you select. And we know what Deshaun Watson brings to the table.
Correct.
So what should the asking price be, and what should a team be willing to pay for that? So let's look. The Jets and the Jaguars both have 2 first-round picks this year. If it's going to take 3 first-rounders to get Deshaun Watson, I'd package both of those right now and send them to Houston for Deshaun Watson. You want both my two, or you want both my ones this year and a one next year, I may even be inclined to throw in a 3. Seriously, I would. To get a 25-year-old franchise-changing quarterback. Vinny, they don't grow on trees.
No, they don't. But, you know, you're going to... The difference, too, here... Now, the market, let's be honest, the market is different. So, if you're using the trade chart, right, the old-school NFL draft trade chart, what the Rams gave up was the equivalent of about the 8th pick. You know, if you go by points, that's about what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody calls in that neighborhood and said, we'll give you this one pick, well, they got 3. Yeah, but they got a 22, a 25, and a third rounder that they just got for free. Plus, they took on all the money. So all that gets involved. So right now, if I'm the Jets, those are early picks. They're rebuilding. They're going to stink for the next 2 years. They're giving up 3s, 5s, 7s. No. Is he worth that? No. I don't believe so, Jordan.
I don't know.
Now, Jacksonville's not a trade partner. They're in the division, so you can just count them out.
Sure, I'm using them as an example.
As an example. So, logically, let's see who's in the game now. Chicago, maybe?
Well, New York's going to be in the game.
Okay.
They're going to be. Chicago should be. Denver should be.
Okay, well, if you're the Jets, the number 2 pick in the draft is worth more than the 3 picks the Rams gave up. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
It is.
So that should be enough right there.
But I still don't believe that the number 2 pick in the draft is worth more than Deshaun Watson. I just don't think it is, because you're going to tell me that Justin Fields is going to develop into Deshaun Watson?
I don't know. So you're going to have to throw something else in. So here we go. So what do you throw in? Darnold in the 2?
I'd give them both my number 1s this year. I really would. I'd give them both my number 1s.
That should be it, though.
You could throw Darnold in there if you want. The problem here is, though, and it goes back to what you just said a moment ago about Jared Goff. You're 100% correct. The Rams had to throw in a number 1 to take the Goff deal.
Just right? For the money.
You don't have to do that with Darnold.
You don't have to do that.
You can get rid of Darnold at the end of the season. It will cost you nothing. What's it costing the Bears to get rid of Mitch Trubisky?
Nothing.
$0. That's why
they
kept him.
So, like, if the Bears, I believe the Bears are picking 20. So, you're right in the 20 range. Okay. That makes a difference, you know? So you're going to have to package something with that. I just don't know. I mean, how many teams are going to be are calling on Deshaun Watson right now? Let's be honest. How many teams you think are really calling on Deshaun Watson?
Okay, so let me give you four teams that should be calling on him.
Okay.
Four that should be. The Jets should be calling on him. All hands should be on the table. All hands on deck right now for the Jets. You're horrible.
You're horrible.
Terrible franchise.
And they have nothing
franchise.
To go with. If you're Deshaun Watson, you're better off in Houston.
Yeah, you are. You are. Unless you hate management that bad. You know how they say the grass isn't always greener on the other side. Look. Yeah. Texans have gone to the playoffs a lot more recently than the Jets have, right? Okay, so the Jets would be one. I do believe that the Bears should be one. I believe that the Panthers should be in on this. It's more difficult with Carolina because you did sign Teddy Bridgewater, and that deal is not Jared Goff-esque, but it's pretty close. He signed a 3-year, $60 million deal.
Yeah, you get $20 million bucks to Bridgewater.
Okay.
Which is manageable, though.
It's manageable, and it's not...
And he's probably part of the deal.
He probably is. And I think the 49ers should be on it. I really do. I think San Francisco, and not because you have to counter what the Rams just did, but Vinny, let's be honest, right? I know Jimmy Garoppolo went to a Super Bowl. Jared Goff went to a Super Bowl. But you can't tell me when you watch the Rams and the 49ers, those are two teams that are limited offensively due to the skill set of their quarterbacks with what Shanahan wants to do.
It seems that way, right?
It does.
It seems like they
plateaued. It's a similar situation to McVay and Goff.
Yeah, that seems like there's a team that's right there to be elite, and they kind of got held back. Let's be honest. Garoppolo hits a wide-open Manuel Sanders. They're Super Bowl champs.
Game's over.
They are Super Bowl champs, and he missed an easy throw. And those are things some guys can't get over. And I believe that happened with Goff and McVay. He had an easy throw for Brandon Cooks for a touchdown, and he threw a duck. I think those guys, they don't get over that, you know, that trying to be elite. And San Francisco, if they're healthy, they got an elite team. If they're healthy, they got an elite team.
They're a quarterback away from, again, being a Super Bowl champion or contender, in my opinion.
I agree with you. There's no money involved in the Garoppolo deal, so they can cut him, actually. They could package him. But two ones, yeah, why wouldn't you?
The only problem with Garoppolo, before you cut Garoppolo, you have to have a clear-cut replacement.
Replacement. But if you're going to get Deshaun Watson, you should call. If it takes two ones, do it.
I would. I wouldn't hesitate. Now, I asked you this question off the cuff. Would you throw two firsts and a Bosa?
No. That's a premier player at a premier position. You're adding that to the deal. That's... Nick Bosa's looking as, if he stays healthy, he's going to be wearing a gold jacket.
He's going to be better than Joey.
He could be.
Yeah.
He very well could be if he comes back and he's healthy. So I don't agree. No, I think you're looking at a top five player at a position to trade for a top five player at a position. Then you're adding in extra picks. No way.
Okay,
I think that's too much.
That's the talk, that they're going to ask for two ones and maybe two defensive players. So if I'm San Francisco, and I don't know if you agree with this, remove Bosa and Warner from the equation. Take any two defensive players that you want in two ones.
Well, that'd be fine. Yeah, that'd be fine.
Those are the teams that should be calling on Deshaun
Watson. They should be. I agree with you.
Can you think of another one? Maybe Denver. Maybe you could throw Denver in the equation.
Denver don't have the firepower. I don't know the money. I'll tell you, the one that has a lot of money is probably the best candidate.
Indianapolis.
But they're in a division, so it'll never happen.
No.
Then it will never happen.
No. You could throw the moon at them. You could offer, it could be Herschel Walker, Ricky Williams combined.
No.
And Houston's not going to trade him.
Same with Jacksonville. You know, those are in division rivals, so you're not going to do that. So it's a perfect landing spot in the NFC, you know, when you throw in, I would throw in two ones in Jimmy G, Garoppolo, and say, hey, you want him for Watson? And it depends, too, because if Watson is that miserable, we don't know. His agent put out a statement today that said a lot of this talk is garbage. So is he really that miserable? Are they really forced to deal him? Because, you know, that press conference introducing their new head coach, it was pretty obvious. Houston Texans have no desire to get rid of Deshaun Watson.
Why should you?
Zero desire.
You have control over him until 2026, I believe, with the franchise tag.
Yeah, so there's a market, but is there really a market?
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see, but I just don't think he goes anywhere.
Who's the next team that acquires a quarterback, or is it done? Because we know Aaron Rodgers is going nowhere.
Rodgers going nowhere. I think it's done. I think I might see some draft movement, but... I really believe Robert Saleh in New York, he's going to build this team slowly and do it with a defensive-minded. He's a defensive-minded coach, going to be aggressive. He wants to run the football. You know, he's been complimentary of Sam Darnold. He said, yeah, you know, this guy didn't have much around him. And it's true.
So Kirk Cousins stays put.
Where do they go?
Same thing.
How many jobs are open, really? We're looking at New England, Indianapolis, New Orleans. We don't know what will happen there. But how many guys in Chicago right now that you could say?
New Orleans. You know what? New Orleans may be the one team that does not have a quarterback next year. It may legitimately be Taysom Hill.
And maybe the Redskins, you can say, you know, if Alex Smith does retire. So there's five guys that are looking for, five teams looking for quarterbacks. So, but how much movement are you going to get, honestly?
I don't know. Here it is, February 2nd, and we're talking about a deal that went down on Saturday ahead of Super Bowl 55 that kind of stole the show. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. And, you know, there's five guys probably with first-round grades, right?
Yeah.
There's five quarterbacks around people are talking about.
I think five may be a little high. I'm going to say three. I think there's three that legitimately we look back on. We're not going to have five first-round caliber quarterbacks in 4 years from this class. It won't happen.
Well, so we got Trevor Lawrence, right? They're talking about.
Okay.
Okay, we got Justin Fields.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. You're talking about the Wilson kid here at BYU.
Okay.
Okay. The North Dakota State kid, which some people are the highest on.
Yeah, it's
physically talented. That's bogus.
He's
physically
bogus.
Talented, I think. And you know the one I like the best.
Mac Jones.
Is Mac Jones. So there's five guys, I think, in the first round are getting drafted this year, Jordan. I really believe
well,
that.
Well, maybe so. Maybe there's five that are drafted in the first round. But what I'm saying is...
And right now, we looked at five teams we know are probably looking at a quarterback right now.
You would think.
So how many of these teams go, well, I'll take my chances with my draft pick?
Okay, but even if five go in the first round, that doesn't mean that they're five first-round caliber quarterbacks.
No.
We'll Christian be lucky Ponder if three, went in the first round.
Yeah. J.P. Kelly.
Yeah,
or,
I mean...
Or J.B. Lossman, I'm...
Lossman, yeah. So, you know, you look at the players... Teams start drafting for need once you get past 13 or 14. Blake Bortles was a first-round draft pick.
Blake Bortles.
Teddy Bridgewater was a first-round draft pick. Late first-round draft pick.
So odds are three of the guys make it, two don't.
I would agree with that. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, three, that's the odds, the statistics for first-round quarterbacks.
NFL Films would do an entire week's worth of documentary if five first-round quarterbacks make it to elite status. Five of them. It won't happen.
Won't happen, no. And, you know, some of these guys end up a backup. Some of them will spot start. Who knows? We'll see.
And we may be talking about, I'll tell you what, Ian Book picked up a lot of attention over the weekend. Can you believe this kid's stock rising at the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, and you know, those kind of guys are developmental players. And, you know, another thing people never, and for me, when I look at Book, I think he's the ultimate backup quarterback.
Me too. He is Chase Daniel.
He is never going to be an elite NFL quarterback.
I don't believe so.
No.
But these kind of guys pick up steam, don't they?
These guys, coaches love them.
Yeah, they do.
They love their heart. They love the brains. They love, hey, I don't have to worry about it. If my guy gets hurt, I can go in and play a couple games with this guy and we'll be okay. They're always looking for that guy. Just as much as the franchise guy. They're always looking for that guy.
Josh McCown.
Yes.
Chase Daniel.
Yes. Backup quarterbacks. I mean, guys they like. I mean, I remember for my Chargers, everybody knows I'm a homer, Charlie Whitehurst.
Yeah.
I think he was in the NFL a decade.
You want to go way, way back? I bet Terry Bradshaw's backup quarterback. Is Terry Hanratty.
He played forever.
But as a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Right? There's value there. And so that's what I really got a kick out of the Senior Bowl this weekend and seeing the way stocks are rising and falling. But again, the quarterback market, it's been shaken up right out of the gate.
Yeah, it has been shaken up.
The NFL is a copycat league.
It is. And there was a lot of movement. We thought there'd be more movement last year. It really didn't happen all that much. We'll see. There's still some deals to be figured out, right? We don't know if Roethlisberger comes back, but they still need somebody.
I think he comes back.
They still need somebody behind him.
They do.
So, Alex Smith,
yep.
Does he come back? They still need somebody behind him.
Yeah.
You know, the Colts, what do they do now?
Yeah, they don't have a quarterback. Saints don't have a quarterback.
You know.
The Bears don't have a quarterback.
Patriots don't have a quarterback.
Patriots don't have one. Yeah, there's
and
a lot of questions.
You kind
marks.
Of got that feeling Belichick's got the web out, huh? Just sitting there waiting for
Jimmy G's going to be the quarterback of the Patriots next season. He's going to get
he's
his
just
guy.
Waiting for someone
he's gonna,
to fall.
He's going to get his guy. Belichick's going to get his guy. I said this at the middle of the season. Remember, you and I had this talk.
Yeah,
he is going to be the quarterback of the New England Patriots. I can see it right now. And we're going to sit back and say, that's sly dog. He did it again.
He did it again. And if he goes to playoffs next year, we're going to go, oh, look at this.
With Jimmy G. The guy he never wanted to get rid of.
Yep.
I can see it happening. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll come back. We'll talk Super Bowl 55 and put the final touches on this edition of Football Tuesday.
Well, Welcome back to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, Eastern Utah's home for the Utah Jazz.
All the hoopla about player movement, quarterback market, NFL draft. We still have Super Bowl 55. It's coming up this Sunday, and Vinny, it just seems a little odd, right?
Yeah, it is. It's a little weird.
It's a little different. Doesn't
not
have
enough
the
buzz, right? I mean, just no media day,
no Pro Bowl. It's just all been kind of different. The build up has been a little bit odd, but still, Sunday night we get the biggest game of the year: Mahomes versus Brady, Chiefs Buccaneers, Arians versus Andy Reid. A lot of compelling stories here. And so let's break this down position by position, and then we will make our final predictions on the game. And we'll start at the quarterback spot. Who has the edge in this game?
Mahomes throwing the football. I mean, Brady hasn't been great in the playoffs. I know they say, well, he threw 3 touchdowns last week. Well, I could have threw 2 of them.
He hasn't been good. He wasn't good. He was not good against New Orleans.
No. In fact, he was flat out bad. But, you know, there is something to be said about the experience. Now, I get the Chiefs did win last year, but remember, for all the hoopla last year, Mahomes stunk the Super Bowl up. He stunk it up.
He was not good.
No, he was not good in that Super Bowl last year, and he should not have won MVP.
No, he should not have.
But the Chiefs' offense is rolling. You know, Kelce is really a difference maker. I know Tyreek Hill gets a lot of the pub, but Kelce's what keeps those drives alive.
Yes, but
they
Kelce,
really do.
He's open because of Tyreek.
But, you know, 2 or 3 plays a game, Mahomes is going to chuck it up.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like last year in the Super Bowl, he just closed his eyes and chucked up a duck, and Tyreek Hill ran backwards and caught it.
Yep.
It changed the game. 2 or 3 plays a game like that, he's going to throw it up. But you're going to get 10 or 12 first downs off Kelce's catches, especially in the playoffs right now. He's on a tear. So I give the edge to Mahomes. Right now,
I can't argue with that. I mean, he's
but
a better
it's hard
player.
To pick against Brady, right? Every time I've ever picked against Brady, I lose.
Yeah, but I mean, let's be
but
real.
Mahomes, offensively, I think the better offense right now is the Chiefs.
Go back and look at some of the quarterback. The year that the Patriots beat the Falcons in the Super Bowl, was Brady better than Matt Ryan that year? No, he was not better than Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan was the MVP of the league.
Yeah.
Brady was not better. So just because you say that you give the Chiefs the edge at the quarterback play doesn't mean it's a knock on Tom Brady.
No, it's not a knock on Tom Brady, and there's other factors into it. Eric Fisher's not playing.
That's a big deal.
That's a huge deal. So now the Chiefs are going to be playing Shaquille Barrett and Dominican Sue and Jason Pierre-Paul with 2 backup tackles.
Yeah, without their stud left, their main left tackle.
And their right tackle's out. So the backup right tackle now becomes the third string left tackle.
Yeah.
So you're going to play those 3 guys with backup tackles. Don't think for a minute that's not going to make a difference. So we'll see. That's going to be a big part of this football game. And I give the edge to Mahomes throwing the football over Brady, but does Mahomes get 2 or 3 sacks? Yeah, there's a good chance he's going to be wrapped up by JPP and Shaq Barrett.
So, yeah, when you say this, is the one thing that I would worry about if I was a Chiefs fan, because if Tom Brady is being pressured throughout this game, Tom Brady's not going to make a mistake. He's not going to. Patrick Mahomes may be put in a couple of situations with a lack of depth that they have up front and what Tampa Bay's been able to do on the pass rush, the edge rush over the last couple of weeks, where they will put Mahomes in a situation to see if he forces a ball. And in my mind, he is more prone to forcing and making a mistake than Brady will be in this game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And you remember last year, I think he threw 2 interceptions in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And they were bad.
They weren't good. He was not good in that game.
He was not good in that game. And historically, teams that have given him problems, cover 3 teams or cover 2 teams, if you can get pressure with 4 and drop 7, well, then that basically takes away the deep ball with Tyreek Hill and then gives them problems. Another factor I think that needs to be is the Chiefs are so good screening, right? They screen the ball so well. Will that work against Lavonte David and Devin White? They cover so much ground, and Devin White right now is playing lights out.
Yeah.
He has been incredible. So if you can get pressure with 4 and take away some of the screen game and the Chiefs have to be patient all the way down the field, it changes the game. So this is going to be an entertaining matchup. I think the first time they played, it was 24-17. I think the Bucs held them to 24 points. and they gave up 17 in the first quarter, and after that they settled down and they only gave up 7 points for through three quarters. We'll have to double check that, but I'm fairly sure that's correct. So Todd Bowles gets under crack at it, and we both like Todd Bowles.
Oh yeah,
highly respected man,
right?
A great football coach. That's going to be interesting. I think those are two factors we need to look at when the Chiefs have the ball. Is Devin White in the screen game, Lavonte David taking away some screens, and do they get pressure against these backup tackles? If they can rush four and get a lot of pressure, how does that change the game for the Chiefs?
So, talking about the screen game, we obviously have to go into the running back category, and this one's not nearly as clear-cut as it may have been about 5-6 weeks ago, right? I believe that the best running back on either team is Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but he's been hurt, and he's almost an afterthought, right, in this Kansas City backfield at this point in time. He really is. I mean, you and I had to talk about Williams and even Le'Veon Bell, right, in comparison. You look at Tampa Bay, and Leonard Fournette's been pretty darn good.
Oh, yeah, Fournette's been a major pickup for them, and he's played some good, good football. They're not here without Fournette.
I don't think so.
I don't think they're here without Fournette.
I don't know that the Chiefs are there without Williams.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one. I don't know. That's a draw.
It's almost sixes, right, at this point?
Yeah, it's almost sixes. Because if Helaire... No, Helaire, he's probably going to be healthy.
I think he's the best running back in the game.
Yeah, you know, I think he'll
be
healthy.
In this game.
Yeah, I think he'll be healthy now. I mean, Le'Veon Bell's an afterthought. I'd scratch. Ronald Jones has been good when he's healthy.
Receivers.
Man, it's hard to argue with the speed, but overall depth, I think you have to take the Buccaneers, right?
I would.
Evans, Godwin, and Miller.
I mean, and Tyreek Brown. Hill,
yeah, and Brown, you know, if he does play.
You got Bray, you got Gronk.
Yeah. You know, and Kelsey, he's been lights out, and Tyreek Hill. But read a report today that DeMarcus Robinson's in COVID protocol, so does he even play?
Probably. I'm going to say probably.
We'll see. That would be a major story, though.
It would. It's the first brush-up that the NFL has had with COVID in
the
Super Bowl.
Yeah, so he's the third receiver there, so you'd have to think that'd make a big difference. So, but yeah, probably Tampa Bay there.
But when you're talking raw speed, you can't forget about Hardman either.
Yeah, Hardman can run. Scotty Miller can run.
Scotty Miller is deceptively fast, right?
I think, what did he say? 4.32 at his pro day. He can run.
Offensive line, you and I have broke this down. It's Tampa Bay. There's no doubt. Edge rush, I don't think there's any doubt. It's Tampa Bay once again. Two of the Chiefs' best defensive players are linemen, and Chris Jones and Frank Clark.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily the case for Tampa Bay, right? And so you talk about Sue. You talked about White, who's just been lights out. JPP kind of found the fountain of youth as of late, hasn't he?
Yeah, last couple weeks, boy, he looked good.
Yeah, he has.
So... it's going to be a close game. I think secondary is a wash. You can also say it's a wash there.
I'd probably give the edge to Kansas City.
Could be. That's fine. I can't argue with
that. I'd probably give it to them.
There you
yeah.
go. But special teams, Butker's been incredible, so I'd probably give them and Hardman as a returner, so I'd give that to Kansas City.
I probably would as
Dave
well,
Dave Taub
yeah.
as a yeah. special teams coach. He's incredible. Oh, well, let's just say it. I mean, who are you picking?
I'm picking Tampa. I'm going to go with the Bucs. And I'm picking Tampa Bay because... I hate doing this. You know, I've talked to many coaches, different sports. Each game is its own beast. It really is. Vinny, I just have a feeling that this kind of reeks of Super Bowl 50. It kind of reeks of Denver, Carolina all over again. Because Tom Brady hasn't been nearly as bad as Peyton Manning was in that playoff run.
No.
Manning was awful.
Yeah, he was.
He was not good.
Yeah.
Okay, but you have a defense that's playing lights out, and that's why Tampa Bay is in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, their defense.
We're going to talk Mahomes, Brady. Yeah, the media loves to talk about that. That's not the reason why Tampa Bay is playing on Sunday. It's their defense.
It is.
Okay? When you look at what they can bring off the edge, and we just talked about it a minute ago, secondary, it's close. You know, you're splitting hairs.
Weather's not a factor.
Weather's not going to be a factor. You're playing in your own home field.
Yeah. Right? Yeah,
you're playing in your home stadium. I just think that you're going to see I think by the end of this, we're looking at Todd Bowles as being one of the front runners for a head coaching job next year.
He should have been.
He should have been this year.
He should have been this year, and I think he got punished because of the playoff cycle. I mean, think about that. I really do. I think the enemy to a point, too.
But I'm
with you. I think the difference is going to be, I'm calling a close game, lower scoring than people think. I think it's going to go 24-21, 23-20, somewhere in that neighborhoods where I think it'll be. I think Brady makes a throw, and you're going to go, Tom Brady made a throw. And I really think that JPP and Shaq Barrett make a play, make a couple plays that end KC drives.
I think they get to Mahomes, and I think they rough him up. I think they make this a very tough game on Mahomes. You know, you talked about, and again, a lot of this has to do with the fact that on the outside, you look at the front five for Kansas City, I don't have any faith in it. I don't have any faith against this defense the way they're playing right now, and that's part of the reason why I got to go with Tampa Bay. But I do believe we are going to see at times in this game, we hold our breath, Mahomes takes a couple of solid hits outside of the pocket because he is going to be running for his life. And it's got to be a dream right now,
and, you know,
for Todd Bowles. It's got to be, because you're in your war room. You're looking at video. You're breaking things down. As well as this team established pressure, not only against the Packers, they were good against New Orleans, right? They set up their defense. They set up their offense. How many times did Tampa Bay set up inside New Orleans' 40-yard line?
Four times.
And now you're going up against two questionable tackles.
Yeah,
it's a dream for Todd Bowles.
Yeah, this is, and you've seen the difference. They got after Aaron Rodgers. They really did. And that was in the cold on a bad field, too. There'll be a home crowd. Whether it's not a home crowd or not, it really is.
It's a home crowd.
It's a home crowd. We'll see. You know, and his health will be a difference. He's got a bad wheel. Mahomes does.
He's not healthy.
Is the extra week help? Sure, it does. But the first time Ndamukong Suh steps on him, make no mistake, he's going to try.
Yeah.
Is he healthy?
I'm going to take Tampa.
I'm going to take Tampa, too. I think it's a close game, but I'm going to take Tampa. Every time I bet against Brady, it doesn't go my way. I'm with you. A low-scoring game.
Yeah. It's going to do it for us on Football Tuesday. We will talk more Super Bowl 55 throughout the week. Vinny, always fun. I look forward to next week because by this point in time next week, we're all undefeated.
Yeah. It's a whole new year.
Everything,
nothing else matters.
Nope. It's a whole new year. We can break down where Kansas City and Tampa Bay goes from here. We can also break down the coaching situation, which is now officially finished.
It's officially finished. Little surprise at the end.
To say the least. To say the least.
Yeah.
Houston waits all this time to sign Coley.
That was different. That was a little bit of a shocker.
Right. You do you, Houston. You do you. We're going to talk about that next week here on Drive Time Sports. Be safe. We are out.